Thanks, everybody. As you find your ways back to your seats, I just want to introduce our friend, one of our family members here at GCCC. Also just want to give a welcome if you're new or relatively new to our church. Just want to welcome you very warmly. We're so glad that you can be with us. We're hoping you have a really great experience with us, and you can connect with some of us more deeply, too, in the coming weeks. We want to hear from people pretty regularly in our Sunday services. So we, it's not quite every week, but we regularly have people from our church come up and share various kinds of stories from their life, stories about what's happening in their lives, stories about the good things that they've seen, the good things that they've experienced, whether it be with work or with church or, all kinds of things. And today we want to hear from one of our friends named Ben. Ben. Yes, all right. Thank you. Ben's going to come up. Can we give him another less tepid welcome? Yeah. All right. One of our values at GCCC is community, and that's partly why that word is in our church name, Community Church. And we really believe strongly in the power of community and the power of belonging. And sometimes even belonging before you know what to do with Jesus, at least belonging to our community. And we want to hear from Ben a little bit of his story about how important community was to him and how that's played out in his life. All right, did I already ask for a second welcome of Ben? Okay, let's make it three. Let's step in.
Thanks, Pastor Carl, for inviting me to come up and speak. And also the warm welcome from a lot of the people that have known me since I've been here the last 2.5 years. Community is such an incredibly important thing. I was very happy to take the invitation. Happy Mother's Day, first and foremost. So I'll just launch into it. No longer than 5 minutes, I promise. So my story is perhaps similar to many stories about people who start following Jesus. Thankfully, I grew up in a household that valued Christ and attended church regularly. However, my parents' story and how Christ worked in their lives would be different than mine. I grew up in somewhat have referred to the Bible Belt, in which there's a general trend in areas from Texas to South Carolina and most southeastern states that claim they believe in Christ and attend the church. Growing up in this region, going to church is something culturally that you kind of just did. But as I got older, I noticed that a lot of hard questions about our faith and why and who we followed had a tendency to be shied away from. This is my personal opinion. I was going to a Christian private school called Grace Academy, so I would wear a standard uniform of khakis with a white, crimson, or navy polo shirt as standard dress. You could tell who the cool kids were by what shoes they would wear. Nikes were always a plus. So I noticed every time I came home and got the mail from our mailbox, these two kids from the public school would get off the bus and just randomly wave frantically and yell, "Hey, what's up?" I would do the same back for no particular reason other than it was fun. This went on for a couple weeks, and my mom finally asked, "Who are your friends?" And I said, "I don't know." She said, "Why don't you go and say hey?" So the next day, I said hey, and they introduced themselves as John and David. After talking for a couple minutes, John, the oldest, said he noticed I had a basketball goal and wondered if we could play sometime. He's very strategic about the, hey, what's up? This led to an awesome friendship between the two brothers, and they invited me over to their house. Then I slowly realized I had stumbled upon something much bigger and how much an impact culture and community can have on us. See, their parents were also believers in Christ. Their mom served in the choir, and their dad was a deacon. They invited me to their church, and I said yes because there was a mention of free food. And if it was anything like their mom's cooking, I was definitely interested. But then something happened to me at the church that changed my life forever. Jesus did not just live in a Bible Belt. Jesus became a global community. I couldn't help but wonder how this church, which is global by nature and home to many international residents, be so devoted and invested in this man from the Middle East and so welcoming to me. It's that moment that Jesus became more than the blue-eyed, brown-haired, permed savior that I kind of grew up with, kind of the stereotypical image. He was the hope of nations, a great unifier and gentle leader who valued orphans, widows, and those seeking refuge in distant lands. A lot more about who Jesus said he was and the faith I grew up with made sense. Looking back, this is the point in time I really started asking the tough questions and digging why I believed what I believed. And since then, through many experiences, both sad and happy, I'm extremely grateful he met me in that place many years ago. There are still mysteries I do not understand and probably remain so for my time on this earth. I'm not always perfect. But the things I've experienced then in that church and across the world have reinforced this great hope and eternal home that we call Jesus. Ironically, I found this church 2 years ago because I was looking for a snowboarding trip with the church. And GCCC had an earlier trip than the district church in D.C. Since then, I've met some incredible people on that trip and have stayed for the last 2.5 years. Community can and does have a big impact. And thank you for the small groups and all the communities I've met while being here. Ed Mosier.
All right, thanks so much, Ben. We are doing a little more community stuff right now. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve up, and he's going to lead us in an infant dedication before we also hear a sermon from him. So, Pastor Steve.
Oh, thank you.
Let's give Pastor Steve a welcome, too, since we're at it.
Well, Ben gets three plus, and I just get one. Come on now. No, I'm just kidding. So one of the things that we do here at Great Commission Community Church is we celebrate life because we recognize that infants and babies and life is really a gift from the Lord. And so we do that. I think it signifies three things. One, again, as we dedicate infants, we're saying God's the giver of life. And then secondly, we give parents an opportunity to say, with our most precious possession, we surrender them to you. And so parents are able to express their faith as they surrender their child to the Lord. And then the third thing that happens is we invite the community, invite you, this church, to participate in helping, assisting, praying for, loving these kids. And so, you know, at any point in the fellowship time, you see kids. I mean, they are partly like our community, and so you, as attenders and members of our church, can embrace them and encourage them and just give life to them. And so today we have one family, one couple that's going to dedicate their son. And so I'm going to invite up David and Patricia. All right, David and Patricia has been here for a while, and I have asked them to share a bit about their family and their son, and then afterwards I'm going to ask them some questions. I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we'll pray for Tobias. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. My name is David, and this is Patricia, and this is Tobias, more commonly known as Toby. We also have a little rascal over in nursery named Genevieve, who you may have seen. And my mom, Ewen, is here too. So that's a quick introduction of who we all are.
So Toby is our second child, and he will be our last child because just letting anyone know that you have one kid, it's doable. You have two, it's not double the work, it's triple the work. So it's not easy. But in terms of his name, you know, we thought, oh, maybe a name that starts with G would be great because his older sister is Genevieve. And we couldn't think of something we liked. But one of my favorite TV shows, there's a character named Gustavo Fring, who's the owner of a successful chain of fried chicken, and he happens to be an incredible drug lord. So I thought, oh, Gustavo, Genevieve, you know. But it'd be great if he avoided criminal activity. But then... David said no, so Tobias was our second choice. That's what we went with. Yeah.
The big thing that's happening to us in about a month will be moving to Bangkok for 3 years as part of my job career. So, hey, if you're going through Bangkok, let us know.
So I'm going to ask them three questions about just their desire to surrender Tobias to the Lord and their commitment to follow Christ. And then afterwards, I'll ask you some questions. All right, David and Patricia, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, and believing in your heart that It is not by any of your good works that you're saved, but solely by grace through faith in what Jesus has accomplished for you on the cross and through his resurrection. Do you also acknowledge that your child, Tobias, is a gift of grace from God and that his life belongs to God? Do you now unreservedly dedicate your child to God and promise in humble reliance upon his grace that you will endeavor to set before him godly example, that you will pray with him, and that you will teach him the doctrines of our faith, and that you will strive by God's grace to bring him up in the nurture and fear of our God? Last question. Have you so kept the vows that you made before God with your previous child that you can take this vow with a sincere and clear conscience? Okay. Good answer. All right. Two questions for you guys here. And these questions, they have to do with just your desire to support and love this family. And even though this family will be going abroad in a few months, we can still support them through prayer, and you can visit them in Bangkok, okay? All right, so church, do you as the people of God commit to support and serve by your love and your prayers this parent, this family, as they seek to raise Tobias in the ways of the Lord? All right, do you as the people of God commit to lead by example in word and deed what it means to follow Christ for Tobias so that he may see Christ in you? Okay, we're going to pray for them. So why don't maybe we could all close our eyes and just, whether through your heart or maybe you could physically sort of extend your hand towards David, Patricia, Genevieve, who's in nursery, and Tobias. And let's just pray for this family. Let's pray that God would protect them, bless them, encourage them, especially as they go to Bangkok in a few months. So let's bless them in that way. And I will represent us and pray for them, and we'll pray for Tobias afterwards. Let's take a minute to pray. Heavenly Father, we commit David, Patricia, and Genevieve, and Tobias to you. We thank you that you love them so much, more than we can ever imagine. And thank you that you have called them to a particular path in serving you and also serving this nation. Pray that you would protect them, bless them, and use them next 3 years and abroad in Bangkok. We pray for your presence to be upon him, Lord. At this time, Lord, I pray for Tobias Malki. Tobias, you are dedicated to the Lord. May all the love, wisdom, and faith from family and church nurture you and encourage you toward your own decision for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for Tobias. He's your child. Bless him all the days of his life. Give to David and Patricia and church to raise him in the faith so that he may know you and love you all the days of his life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's give a round of applause and just encourage them. Thank you. Well, during fellowship time, please greet them and encourage them. I think you guys have how many? A month left. So make sure to connect with this family before they leave for Bangkok. All right, thank you. Okay, we'll jump into our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you or devices, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. As we've been talking about, we are in the season of Easter, meaning we are trying to emphasize our life in Christ and affirm it, celebrate it, recognize it, just reminding one another who we are in Jesus. And so today I want to kind of look back a bit. Last Sunday we spoke from, Pastor Carl spoke from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to touch up on that a little bit, and then we'll read the next section. So I want to start by reading 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. So if you have your devices open, if you can kind of look there. It says, That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We'll just kind of pause there, and then we'll read a bit more. But here, John is talking about, he has just reminded us who Jesus is, the gospel in verses 1, 2, and 3. And here he says, in verse 3, he says, we've proclaimed to you the gospel, Jesus, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. And so what John here is saying is, I've preached the gospel to you so that you might have fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. In that, I think we could say the end goal of preaching the gospel and believing in Christ is fellowship. Right? So that's what John's saying here. John's saying, I proclaim the gospel to you so that you might have fellowship. Fellowship, I mean, means really just sort of having something in common, sharing, partnership. And so what we are reminding ourselves today or during this season is the life that we have with God, that God has shared his life with us. And if you were here as we went through the Gospel of John, I mean, that's what Jesus again and again told people, right? He told Nicodemus, you need to be born again in the Spirit and in water. And he said, God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life, right? And in the very next chapter, Jesus meets a woman from Samaria, and he says a similar thing. He says to her, if anyone drinks the water that I give him, he will never thirst. And the water will well up into eternal life. Right? I mean, it goes again and again. John chapter 10, Jesus says, there are cosmic forces that are after your life, and they want to kill, steal, and destroy you. But he says, but I'm a good shepherd. I've come to give you life, an abundant life, a full life. And so what John is saying here is, what I want us to just briefly affirm and remember and celebrate, is the life that we have with God. The gospel that you believe in, the goal is fellowship. The goal is that you have fellowship with God, and you have fellowship with one another. I know some of college students here, I know you guys are graduating soon. And, you know, once you graduate or as you sit and you get your diploma, you begin to think, I spent 4 years here in D.C. And you'll recognize, you'll remember that all the studies that I've done, taking exams and maybe internships and all the stuff that I've done, it's to get me to this point, to get this diploma and so that I can launch out into the world to get a job and, you know, further start my career. I mean, that was sort of the goal of all the money that you paid, you know, the studies that you've done. I mean, all of that is leading up to this graduation. I think that's what John is saying here. John is saying, I've proclaimed the gospel to you. I want you to believe. But the goal is so that you might have fellowship with God and that you might have fellowship with one another. Right? That we believe in the gospel, and now we have this fellowship with God. God has shared his very life with us. Sometimes we mistakenly think that Christian life or following Jesus is about do's and don'ts. Like it's narrow, and we need to give up things. And partly maybe that's true, but the essence of the Christian life is life with God. Like, it's something that we are to celebrate. You know, if you read the Psalms, you have Psalms like this, right? In Psalm 63, I think David writes, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Why is David, like, longing and thirsting after God in this way? And he says, because your steadfast love is better than life. Like David's experienced something so delightful that he says, my soul and my flesh even longs for you. I mean, this is what God's given to us, life that is full and life that is abundant. You go in Psalm 84, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And again, the psalmist is saying, if I had a choice to be at any place at any time, do anything, I would rather be with you, God. I mean, that's what he's saying. And so before we kind of read the rest of the passage today, I want us to kind of pause and remember and think that this is the life that God has for us. This delightful, full, abundant life. The psalmist, the fact that they can have it, it's unbearable for them to be away from God's presence. So that's the life that we have. And so I don't know how to celebrate that more, but it's the only thing that I can think of is, you know, it's kind of like, excuse me if this illustration doesn't like hit you well, but about half a year ago, my sister-in-law got married, and so my brother-in-law took like the family out to this like steak place in the city. I think it was called Mastro's, something like that. But it's probably the best steak that I've had, and it's like you kind of like. You cut in, and I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you taste, and it like almost melts in your mouth, and it was so good, like that. What, you know, afterwards, you wanted to tell all the people, like, this is so good. You gotta come and try this, you know, this steak, or you wanna try this ribeye. It's something like that. I mean, Christian life, friends, it's just Christian life is something that we are to be celebrating and delighting in, and remember how good God is. I mean, until we get that, like the things that I'm going to talk about, it's not going to really make sense. So that's who we are. That's what we have. So then the question is, there are two questions, right? One, for some of us, you go, man, I've never experienced that. I've never experienced God in that way. And so for you then, the application is, John would say, believe in Christ, right? Believe in the gospel. Think about who Jesus is. And what he offers, what he said, what he did, what he accomplished. So for those of you who've never experienced this delightful, abundant life with God, fellowship with God, you need to kind of think about the gospel and take hold of who Jesus is. Now, others of us who might be asking, well, that sounds great, but and I want more of that. How do I do that? How do I experience my God in a way that I can really say, I would rather be with God than anywhere else, like the psalmist. I mean, how do we get there, or how do we grow in that? And I think that's where 1 John is helpful, and John helps us. So if you have your devices, John chapter 1, verse 5. So this is our text for us today. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right, so here is sort of the main question that we want to ask ourselves. How do we enjoy God in this way? Because I think unless we enjoy God in this way, that we find joy in God in this way, everything else about our Christian life will feel dull. It's going to feel like just rules and duties, which have place in our Christian life, but that's not the engine, right? And so when we look at the Psalms, and when we look at the passages that Pastor Carl even read for us earlier today, it's like the Christian life, it looks narrow from outside, but once you walk in, it explodes with joy and thankfulness and gratitude and hope and love and peace. I mean, that's what it is. Like, when you see Christian life from outside, it seems like, wow, the Christians can't do this or that, and it might seem narrow, but once you step in, once you trust in Christ, it explodes. Your heart explodes with love and gratitude and joy and hope. That's where we need to be, friends. Christian life cannot be reduced to, I need to attend church on Sundays. It has to be, I get to come and worship and fellowship with this living God. It can't be reduced to, I need to go to small group today because I feel bad for my small group members or leaders. I mean, it has to be, I get to come and fellowship with my brothers and sisters. We're going to pray together and study God's word. I mean, there has to be this engine of joy and delight. And that's what the psalmist is talking about, and that's what we have in the New Testament. But am I getting too, animated here? But I want us to get this. Like, it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. And so the question is, well, how do we grow in this? And I think John tells us, okay, one, we need to walk in the light. And two, we need to deal with the realities of sin. Okay, so number one, we need to walk in the light. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We'll just pause there. John writes his letters and the gospel in a profound way, but simple way. It's like God is light. But when you think about that, it has so many implications. So God is light. This is probably the most comprehensive description of God. Like, God is light, because it implies that God is glorious, God is pure, God is joy, God is hope, God is love. I mean, it's talking about so much of who God is. But here in this context, I think John is looking at one particular attribute of God. And it's in verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I think here John is landing on, when he says God is light, he's talking about, I think, the ultimate truth that God displays about himself through his son Jesus and in his word. Right? When John says God is light, he's saying God has revealed himself, the ultimate truth about who he is and about life and about our life, about sin, about this world. God has revealed the truth to us. And so when we say we walk in the light, I think what John is getting at is we walk in righteousness. That we walk in the ways God has revealed himself to us. And so here's the first point. If we want a fellowship with God, John here says, he's light. We need to walk in the light. Now, I think there's a contrast here. He's saying, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he's saying is, we can't just say we have fellowship with God. We can't just talk about God and talk about the gospel. We can't just explain what the passage says. What John is saying is, you need to live it out. You need to walk in the light. You need to live out in a way that God's calling you to live. I mean, think about a few people in the Old Testament that walked with God. Like Abraham saw miracles, visions, angels. I mean, he saw so much of God. But in the midst of that, in chapter 17, when God makes a covenant with Abraham, he says, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. What God is telling Abraham is, it's not just enough to see visions and miracles, but he's saying, Abraham, walk with me. May your life be blameless. So for those of us who feel like, man, I've been a Christian for a long time. I know the Bible. I go to church. I go to small groups. But I'm not sure if I'm really sensing the presence of God in my life. And I feel like my fellowship with God is distant. Maybe this is where we are erring. This is like our Christian life is about knowledge. It's become about knowledge and not about life. That's what John is saying. You want fellowship with God? It's not enough to say it. You need to walk in the light. So application is, think about, are there things in your life that God is calling you to do? We could summarize what the Bible says about what God desires for us in two ways, right? Are we loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we loving others as we love ourselves? So think about the things that God might be doing in your life. Maybe it's, and this is all of us, you know, and as you just say, he's not here talking about perfection, and I'll talk about that, but just in your life, think about, are there things that God's, like, calling me to do, obey? It might be something like, maybe God is calling me to use my time for him better. Maybe God's calling me to use my wealth for him better. I mean, that's practically loving God with all of our soul, mind, and strength. And so just to let you know, like, the church is going on a retreat, and we're going to talk about Sabbath. And I think that's the principle. Principle is, you know, you're busy with life. You have so many things to take care of, and you're career, job, family life, friends, hobby. But is God important enough in your life where you will set apart a day for him? Right? That's practically like loving him. You're saying, God, all of these things are happening in my life, but I am willing to set aside this day for you. I mean, that's like obedience. Another example might be like loving others. Right? And so maybe God has placed someone in your life now that God is asking you to reach out to. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe someone's hurting and God's impressing upon your heart to love that person or serve that person. It might be your family member. It might be a close friend. Someone in your life that God's kind of saying, you need to love that person. The way that we fellowship with God and experience more of God in our life is when we walk in the light, because God is light. All right, second thing that he says here is we need to deal with the reality of sin. So verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, so let's say we're not just talking about light, but we're walking in the light, right? Well, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, John says there are two things that happen. One, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Right? As we walk in the light, one, we have fellowship with one another. And I'm not going to talk too much about that because Pastor Carl talked about that last Sunday, and if you missed his sermon, you could listen to that online. Okay? But this is interesting because John says if you're walking in the light, you would think that he would say, you'll have fellowship with God. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, well, as you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And I think that's because, again, fellowshipping with one another is a lot more concrete. It's tangible. You could see it. You could do it. You could observe it. Whereas fellowship with God is subjective, and it's hard to recognize. So one of the ways that you know that you are going to have fellowship with God is having fellowship with others. And I think I'm stealing this from Pastor Carl's sermon. Like, you can't do your Christian life or live your Christian life in isolation. Like, you can't, I mean, it doesn't work. So for some of you, like, the reason why you might not sense the presence of God in your life, that your fellowship with God is not as close as you like, is maybe you're trying to live your life, your Christian life, by yourself. Maybe you are keeping a distance from other people and you're trying to work your issues and stuff by yourself, and that's not how we are created. We are created to have fellowship with God and one another. Do you remember Jesus' last prayer in John chapter 17? His last prayer for us. He said, God, Father, I pray that my disciples, people who believe, you, the church, will be one. That's his prayer, like his last prayer, that they will be one like we are one. You in me and I in them. Like, that's, again, that's the goal of the Christian life, that we have this fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. That's where we will end up. And so how are we doing that? Are we fellowshipping with one another? Are we getting, again, fellowship meaning, are we sharing things in common, that we have spirit that dwells in me and you? Again, we talked about that last Sunday, but let me focus on the second, sort of result of walking in the light. He says, as we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And then he says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I think this is important. So, you know, when I read this passage, even just before, this like kind of puzzled me because I expected John to say, as you walk in the light, like you will be free from sin. Like, meaning, being cleansed of our sins, in my mind, should come before walking in the light, right? Or walking in the light might mean that there's no sin in us. Like, we're in the light, and we don't have to deal with sin. So in my mind, it should be like, you're cleansed, and you walk in the light. That's not what John here says. He says, you walk in the light, and as you're walking in the light, one of the things that happens is Jesus cleanses us. What is that? Well, that means, I think this is what he's saying. He's saying, as you walk in the light, you will begin to recognize like more of your sins, unfortunately. But I'm going to address that, so don't get discouraged, okay? This is not a discouraging passage, and I'm going to prove that to you, okay? But as you walk in the light, like you recognize like more stuff in your life. Not just more stuff, but how like deep your sin goes. There is deep-rooted selfishness or self-centeredness in your soul. Like those things come out. It's kind of like, not all the marriages are like this, but when you get married, you go, whoa, wow, I am kind of self-centered because my world's been around me. And so as you walk in the light, you get to see more stuff. But don't get discouraged because, you know, when we read the Apostle Paul's life, at the very end of his life, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, here is the message that we've been proclaimed to you, right? And then he says, there's a trustworthy saying, because I mean, full sentence, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am the worst. I see, Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, recognized that he was like the worst sinner. This is Apostle Paul who wrote the New Testament. Apostle Paul who planted the churches. I mean, he, at the end of his life, said, I am the worst of all sinners. So I say that because I think that's part of the Christian life. But here's the good news. I think what John here is saying is, he's not mentioning sin to get us down, actually. He really is not. More I think about this passage, I don't think that's his heart. Because he doesn't say, if you follow me, he doesn't say, when you walk in the light, you will see more of your sins, but God will forgive you. That's not what he's saying. He says, as you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. I think what he's saying is, as you walk in the light, you will experience more and more of God's grace towards you. The emphasis of what John is saying here is, he's talking about being cleansed, being forgiven of our sins. He doesn't really mention about how wicked our sins are. He says, as you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us. He's landing on our experience of God's mercy and grace and love for us. That's what he's landing. And that's why in chapter 3, he calls the Christians my little children. I mean, he wants to encourage us. That's the Christian life. Christian life, as we walk in the light, two things happen, right? One, we have fellowship with one another. Secondly, we experience profound power and graciousness of God's mercy and forgiveness towards us. That's the Christian life. Like, we experience that more and more and more and more. And so, someone like Paul can say, I'm the worst of all sinners at the end of his life. And yet he could be so thankful and grateful for the gospel and grace upon his life. And that's what happens. And as you experience that, Christians ought to become more humble, but more courageous, because life doesn't become about us. It's more about grace. You experience more of his grace. And so you go deeper in your brokenness, but you don't stay there. But it's because about his grace, and you just become more humble about life. That's walking in the light. So the application then is, what do we do? Well, in chapter verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the way we don't deal with sin is verse 8, right? If we say we have no sin, that's people who say, oh, I stopped sinning, or I don't have any sinful nature. He says the truth is not in us. We're deceiving ourselves. So the way that we deal with sin is we confess. Now, this is going to be a shift in your mindset. Confession could be a sweet thing. Like, repentance could be a delightful thing. Martin Luther, who was the reformer, he said, one of the most, I think, significant thing that he said was, in the Christian life, repentance ought to be happening daily. And, you know, Timothy Keller, a pastor up in New York, took that and he kind of phrased it. The phrase that he uses is, all of life is repentance. Meaning, like, it's part of who we are. And, you know, if you read the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught us to pray, one of the things that he taught us to pray is, Father, forgive us for our sins as we forgive one another. And that should be happening daily. Meaning, the Christian life, when we confess our sins, it can't be just, I'm so terrible, I'm so bad. No, rather, it's, God is so good. God is so gracious. You're experiencing the power of his blood upon your life daily. And so there's both sense of humility, but also joy and thankfulness. Let me just close by just looking at verse 9, just for 5 minutes, a little bit more closely. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when he says forgive our sins, he's talking about paying a debt that's owed. When he says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, he's talking about removing stain of sin. So, and those things are based on, here it says, he's faithful and just. Faithful to what? Faithful to the promise that he made with us through Christ. Like, God is so faithful because of who Jesus is. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. And then he's just. He's just because we can boldly approach God. Like now, no matter what your sins might be, you can boldly approach God if you're in Christ because of who Jesus is. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he paid for all of our debt. Like, the blood that he shed cleansed all of our stains. So when we come to God and say, God, Father, this is what I've done. Or I say, this in my heart, I confess it, forgive me. God will never, he cannot say, well, your sin's too big. Oh, you've sinned that again, another sin? He can't do that, not because of your righteousness, but because he's just and faithful. Jesus has paid for all of our sins. It's done. So it would be unjust for God to say, I need more payment from you. That would be unjust, and God can't do that because he's a just God. If he does that, he would be saying what my son did on the cross is not enough. It's not sufficient. He can't do that because it goes against who he is. So when we come to God, we can come boldly. No matter what kind of sin it is, no matter how often you've committed that same sin, we can come to God boldly because it's not about us. It's about Christ. He shed his blood. He died for us on the cross. He paid the debt fully. So we come to God and say, God, the Father, I stand before you boldly because Jesus has done it. And if you could do that daily, your heart will more explode with gratitude and thankfulness and joy. Friends, we cannot, and I'm more and more, as I get older and as I try to, with all the pastors, kind of shepherd us, we cannot be a powerful witness to this world unless we are, like, the engine that drives our Christian life is joy and gratitude and thankfulness. because those things are contagious, right? This is so good. You got to come and check it out. This is so good. You got to come and experience this. Now, that gets something like out there. But if your Christian life is just reduced to, man, I have to do this and I can't do that, you will never, your Christian life will never explode. John says we have fellowship with God, which is amazing. I mean, we have fellowship with the living God, God of the universe. That's who we have fellowship with. And we have fellowship with one another. And as we walk in the light, we experience not condemnation. There's no condemnation here. It's only grace. He says, as you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, will cleanse you again and again and again. All right, can I get an amen there? I don't know. Everyone's kind of very somber looking at me, but maybe it's because I'm raising my voice. But my intention is for us to remember, man, this is good stuff. Like, this is not just good stuff, but this is amazing. I mean, this is mind-blowing. I mean, this is what we have. So let's live it out, shall we? Let's live it out, whether it's in your small context, trying to love and serve people, your roommates, your family, or live it out, like your workplace, as you do things out there. Let's remember who he is and know that we are people of light. All right, let's pray, and I will invite our praise team to lead us into a few songs as we close, but let's just take a minute to just pause and reflect and pray. And, you know, I guess the question that I want to ask us, and this is a question for myself as well, because, you know, I have in many ways a long ways to go in terms of cultivating a heart that really delights in God. Like the psalmist, you know, Psalm 84. When he declares that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell anywhere else. For a day in God's presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I have long ways to go to get to that point. And my guess is most of you as well. So let's just come before the Lord, this Father that we have, who wants to fellowship with us daily. And I don't think the problem is that God's not speaking into your life and God's not trying to embrace you. I think the issue lies with us. As Mark chapter 4, the parable of sower, the seed, the issue is not that God is not speaking, but the issue is our hearts are cluttered with so many other desires and worries that we have a hard time hearing God. And so this morning, let's cultivate our hearts so that our hearts become good soil, so we can hear from Him. And then we can really embrace the gospel and what Christ has done for us, that we really are people who are forgiven and cleansed. There's no condemnation. And that's who we are. That's who we are. So let's meditate on that. And let me pray for us, and then we'll sing some songs together to reflect and declare that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for just your grace towards us, that as we walk in the light, not perfectly, but as we walk in the light, as we fellowship with you, that we have fellowship with others, and the blood of your Son Jesus cleanses us daily. And so that's who we are. We are people who are forgiven, people who know you, and people who fellowship with one another. Remind us of our identity, our destiny, who we are in you. And help us to celebrate that, recognize that daily and weekly. So today, as your people, as your church, we come and we sing to remind one another who we are in you. And thank you for your grace and just your love for us. And in Jesus' name we pray.